the Career Brand. I am Latrice Collins, your host and the president of the Career Brand. Well, our focus here on the Career Brand is to help you identify what your brand is and how to strengthen it to new levels. Now, for those of you who are new to the show, I want to just give you a little bit of background to branding and explaining how it is a part of who we are and how people see us. Your brand is a matter of the interactions and touch points that people have with you. And every time they interact with you in some way, whether that's in an email, a conversation, or simply by seeing you on social media, every time that happens, people form an opinion and a thought process of your strength as a professional or as a company. And so when it comes to branding, our focus is on how do we help you present the very best brand so that people see you for the quality person and attribute that you bring to the table? Over the past few months, we have been focusing on topics that help you strengthen who you are and present who you are to others. And this month, we have a tremendous opportunity in really helping people to see the differences in generational diversity. And so you've heard about diversity, which simply means where people are different in some way, whether that is race or religion or whether that's your socioeconomic or your education. In some way, we have differences, and because of that, we have opportunities to either be very separate and siloed, meaning seeing ourselves in a special group and different from someone else, or we have a chance to actually learn and grow from those differences so we can create a synergy wherever we exist. Today's show, we are focusing on a fireside chat with Millennium Professionals. And that chat allows us to really help us to see people from different perspectives. But in this case, we're speaking specifically to millennials. We're talking about people who were born in 1980 or later, people who are part of that technology age and part of that fast-moving culture. And so this is our future. And we have a phenomenal opportunity today of speaking with three proven professionals. So you're going to hear from them in just a moment. We have Thaddeus Kilo, who's coming to us, who's a founder. He's been an entrepreneur. He's worked for the White House, but he'll tell you more about that in a moment. We have Rajay Jones, who's a phenomenal young man who's already proven his experience working with some financial institutions. And we have Shiloh Hofacket, who, phenomenal, wonderful woman. You're going to love her, absolutely. She's been working in the HR field. So I'm going to give them a moment to introduce themselves. First of all, guys, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Exciting to be here.
Thanks for having us.
I tell you this, I have been getting texts and emails from people knowing this show is coming up, waiting to hear from you. Because too often, as people in different generations, you make assumptions, right? You think you know people who are younger because you think you've been there. But in this case, I think it's going to be a lot different. We can all learn so much from you all. So we can't wait to hear what you have to offer. And for callers who are out there who might be interested in talking to any of our guests, please feel free to give us a call. And to do that, you would just call us at 347-324-5330. Again, at 347-324-5330. So right quick, Shiloh, would you mind telling our listeners a little bit about you?
Sure. Like you said, my name is Shiloh Hofacket, and I graduated from Texas Woman's University in Denton, Texas in 2013 with a Bachelor in Human Resource Management. I've been working for DATQ Credit Union here in Denton, Texas for 3 years, and I've been the Human Resources Assistant for the past 2 years.
And could you tell us what DATQ stands for?
Denton Area Teachers Credit Union.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, Shiloh, and thank you for being part of the show.
Yes, thank you.
Rajay, can you take a moment and tell us a little bit about you as well?
Sure. So my name is Rajay Jones. I am 23. I will be 24 on August 10th. I was born in Tyler, Texas. I'm currently a software quality assurance engineer, and I also graduated from Denton May 2013, but from the University of North Texas with a bachelor's of science in computer engineering.
Thank you, Rajay. And Thaddeus. Thaddeus, share with us a little bit about you and your background.
Sure. My name is Thaddeus Kilo, originally a Chicago native. I've got about 12 years of experience in corporate branding and design. Right now, I stand as a senior visual designer for Rexel. It's a leading global electronics distributor, and I'm also the co-founder and chief creative officer of NowCoders, which is a web development design and branding house. My background extends from the White House web development, as well as work for Fortune 500 companies like Thomson Reuters, as well as institutions like the University of Chicago and the City of Chicago. And I'm a graduate of the International Academy of Design and Technology in Chicago, and happy to be here.
Well, thank you, Faith. If you all have not seen his work, you have to go to his website, so hopefully you can share that with us a little later. Thaddeus, phenomenal, phenomenal work. I'm just excited that I'm able to know him and able to be a part of what he's offering to everyone. So, Shiloh, I want to make sure I get time for you all to answer questions and help us see things differently. So I'm just going to jump right into it. So, Shiloh, you work in HR. What's your impression of what's working right now in the workforce today?
Yes, ma'am. My impression of what's working right in the workforce today is most importantly the open environment that we have in the workplace. No question is too much to ask for the managers right now. They're taking more ideas and suggestions from the employees, and not just listening to the ideas and suggestions, but actually implementing them. And if it's something that is unable to be implemented at that time, they're opening up the conversation with the employees on why those ideas and work processes may not work at that time in the company. And so the employees are being looked at as more than just a number, an actual person. The managers and the bosses are looking at the employees as a person outside of the workplace and really getting involved in their personal life in a professional manner as well.
What do you think the impact is that that's having on the people? Because all companies don't do that, so it's good to hear that we're moving in the right direction. What would you say is the impact of them doing that?
I think the impact allows the employees to feel more comfortable, which in turn helps them to open up about their ideas and not feel like they just have to do the same work processes that have always been done just because that's what's always been done. They're feeling like they have a voice in the company and they're able to share their ideas, which in turn is helping all of the processes just be easier implemented, I think.
Perfect, perfect. And Rajay, tell me, what do you believe are the critical items that business leaders or employees should consider if they want to succeed in the future? What's your impression of that?
So my impression, and this is using some research that I have looked at, by 2025, 75% of the global workforce will be composed of millennials. So if you're in this line of business, you need to understand that change is coming, and you have to adapt to it. So I think these conversations are great so that people can understand, you know, different perspectives, and change is just inevitable. Like, take, for example, Uber, a new startup company that, you know, came out of nowhere in the past few years, is already destroyed and kind of just bankrupted some of the taxi services in different cities. You have, you know, Blockbuster's gone. A lot of different things are changing now because of this new technical boom in industry. And I think that being able to change and adapt to this and have some of the people who grew up with this will be perfect.
Perfect. So you're saying that flexing to change, and it sounds like, what do you think Uber did that made them so powerful? What do you think the key was about Uber that kept them, one, moving forward and kind of shut down some of the other competition?
I think one of their biggest things that they did was they catered to the millennial industry. Like, they catered to, you know, the technology, being able to use something quick and easy on your smartphone that almost everyone has now. They're a complete company without any assets. You know, they just came in and completely changed something that was already existing. It may not seem like it needed to be changed, but just using their creativity allowed them to get to where they are now.
Yeah, and if I could just jump in there, Rajay, I think just as a supplement to that, it's almost as if they changed the conventional way of doing something and they found a more efficient way of doing it. And I think that kind of characterizes millennials in a nutshell. We're not necessarily reinventing the wheel, but we have a very good way about repainting it or redecorating, if you will, so that it becomes more attractive, more efficient, and more modern to our day and time. So I think that's a very good point. Uber is definitely a shining example of how you can take more of a traditional industry and revolutionize it overnight.
That was a beautiful point of how what you, because that helps us to see also why the blockbusters didn't make it, right? It's because they're looking at the time. They didn't flex, to Rajay's point. They didn't flex to the changes that were taking place. And there are companies coming in all the time, like the Ubers, who are coming in and recognizing there is a need that people don't even recognize they have. And the millennials are key on that, of saying, how do we improve our efficiencies? How we do things just in time? You know, so people can jump on and help them right now using technology available to them. That's pretty fantastic. So Thaddeus, so let's piggyback on that. So what do you think about, you know, talk to me about, you know, there's a lot of talk, there's a lot of buzz that's going on, you know, about the millennials today, right? What do you think about that buzz in light of what you just said?
Well, I think it's polarized. If you take it from a bird's eye view and kind of zoom out, you'll see that on one end of the spectrum, you've got recent press suggesting that as a generation, we're struggling, you know, both with college debt, unemployment, lack of opportunities, and a lot of this, of course, is due to the recession, the rising cost of college, and it's creating somewhat of a competitive dynamic for us, and it's almost making a lot of us insecure and uneasy about our stability and where we stand in a professional environment. But then on the other end of that spectrum, you know, we're the children of the ingenuity, right? We're the ingenuity age has revisited us. We're inventors. We have this big idea. We're solving problems. For example, again, like Uber, you know, you're looking at a company who didn't have any assets. They had no vehicles, hardly any employees whatsoever. And they came in and revolutionized an industry with simply an application, a web application. You know, no fleet of cars. So I think that there's two sides of the spectrum, and the press seems to be saying that while we're both struggling, we're finding ways to be creative to counteract that struggle.
This is really good, Thaddeus. I'm taking notes on what you're saying. So I am also hoping that for those of you who are traditionals, or if you're a Gen Xer, or if you're the baby boomers, this is good, meaty stuff that they are saying. And I'm loving the just broad perspective, that you all are bringing to the table of understanding. You see this. You see what is being said. You see the two different polar differences of what's being said, but being able to rationally explain to us what's really there, recognizing where there is a value that's there. Shiloh or Rajay, is there anything else you want to add to what Thaddeus has said?
I think he's covered it pretty well.
I agree.
So then, Thaddeus, what do you feel are the differences from other generations? So elaborate for us on how do you see the millennials as significantly different, or the value that how do you see the additional value the other generations are also bringing to the table?
Well, you know, when I think about just, you know, my mom's generation, and then even as far back as my grandma's generation, when a lot of them were coming up, especially as African-Americans and minorities, the struggle was just to meet the status quo, right? To just be able to get a good job, maintain a household and support your family. And then as my mom's generation came along, it went a little bit further than that. You know, now we want to have more than just a job. We want to actually be career people and professionals. And I think that goes across the board for millennials in general. But when you fast forward to where we are today, I think now that we've established ourselves as being a career-driven society, we want to improve upon the status quo. And that's making us very highly competitive. We come into this the industries with big dreams and a pocket full of hope, but we also come with very high expectations from our employers for those opportunities because we want a little more than just a good job. We want a little more than just a career. You're talking about millions upon millions of recent graduates who have now entered the workforce who have no access to the same opportunities that their moms and dad had, again, A, because of the recession, but B, just because of the sheer competition and the saturation and the concentration of people that are out looking for opportunities. So I think that that competition, it drives us to be a little bit different than our forecomers, if you will, and that it forces us to go a step further, if that makes sense.
It does. It does. Can you elaborate a little bit on what you meant by you say you come with a different set of expectations?
Yeah. So, again, like maybe this speaks more probably to corporate loyalty. You know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, when you went to a job, you know, the main idea was just to get a great job and to hold it and to retire from that job and move forward. Maybe you'll get promoted here and there. But the way we're looking at it now as millennials, we find that corporate loyalty has gone down to just under 2 years. We're finding now that employers are bringing in millennials, hiring them on for what seems to be career-level opportunities, but then letting them go after a job is done or a project is done. And I think, again, this also has to do with the fact that corporations are trying to downsize, right? They're trying to make themselves more lean and more efficient. So maybe they don't need salary-level employees all the time. That point drives to the fact that now we have to become very much more competitive, and we have to spread ourselves even wider and our net even wider, and our expectations of our employers are that they're going to give us meaningful opportunities to be able to do that so that we can move on to the next opportunity and excel.
Mm-hmm. So what do you see millennials doing, and any of you guys, you can answer this. So what do you see as this is, okay, so you're saying that millennials recognize that companies are looking to be lean. They're hiring in more consultants or hiring in people on a project basis. So as a result of that, tenure may not be much more than 2 years in general in either direction. And so because millennials recognize that, they have that competitive edge, right? They have that hunger to say, I need to grow as much as I can so that I'm ready for that next position, right, or that next opportunity. That makes sense? That's what I'm hearing, right? So what do you see are some of the characteristics that millennials show, that millennials are doing that supports that? So as a Xer, as a generation Gen Xer, if I'm looking into my team of people, what behavior am I seeing from that from that millennial person that shows, listen, they are trying to get it, learn it, expand themselves so they can always, you know, get that next opportunity?
I think I can answer this one. So some of the things that I think millennials bring is that we're already goal-oriented. We already know kind of a high-level view of where we see ourselves in the next, you know, few years, few months, things that we want to learn. Like you said earlier, that we're really competitive. So especially in the technology industry, we kind of know some of what's the latest and greatest things coming in technology. So we know we need to brush up on our skills. We need to learn this. We want to get to this certain spot before the next millennial or the people under us, our competition, come in and take away what we already worked hard for.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Absolutely. And I'm finding as well, you know, I've worked in, you know, just to piggyback off the fact that we have to move around so much, 75% of my career background has been contracted to that effect. because you go from project to project. And I found that when you're in the corporate environment, especially when you're dealing with millennials, you see this hunger, you see this thirst, you see this need to excel quickly. Whereas maybe when our parents came in at the generation before, they were kind of just trying to, you know, not make waves, trying to make sure that they just had a secure spot, get your foot in the door and take your time. Whereas we're coming in the door and we're trying to shake things up. We're trying to revolutionize, you know, the way that they're doing business. We want to make something impactful on our resume because, again, corporate loyalty is now at about 2 years. So you've got, you know, a year to show what you've got and make an impact so that you can move on to that next shining opportunity.
Mm. So this brings me to another question. So thank you, Thaddeus. So you just opened up a door that I can see being a door that can possibly be misunderstood at times. In other words, you know, there seems to be room if your intention is we have to make an impact. I can only imagine that there's some behavior that might exist that may be something that other generations are not reading right. So Rajay and Shiloh and Thaddeus, could you shed some light for us? You know, so maybe starting with you, Rajay, what are some of the misunderstandings that you feel other generations are making when it comes to the millennials?
I think the perfect one to expand on is the brand loyalty. I don't think, I think kind of from another perspective, it may look as though, you know, we just want to move around. We want to, you know, find something else, or we're just craving it that much. But in reality, I think it's only because of our competition, which is ourselves. We know that, you know, how competitive it is, and we know that, you know, once we get to a certain spot, if we're not continuing to learn, we need to find something else to that would allow us to do so. So if the company we're at isn't teaching us the latest and greatest or is not allowing us to excel in our career, we're going to find that next position that will.
I have to agree with that. As being in recruiting and being in HR, I work a lot with interviewing the millennials. And being a millennial myself, I know that there is not necessarily a lack of loyalty, but like Thaddeus had said, that company loyalty has really gone down in the past few years. And so I think our generation has less fear of failure. Like Thaddeus said, that our parents and our grandparents, they came into a company and they didn't really want to shake things up. They wanted to stay under the radar and just secure their position, and they were happy in that position until retirement. But we are coming in and we're not afraid of failing. We're more self-confident. We're more technologically savvy. We're really working to live. We're working to just fill that space between the weekends sometimes. And so we're not completely focused on our job as a way of life. We are looking at how we can expand on that as well. And so we have that less fear of failure, like I was saying.
Yeah, and I'd like to even piggyback off that as well. And that, you know, we're approaching this, we're being faced with a situation right now where we're almost being painted into a corner. And what I mean by that is that, you know, the generation before us, all they had to do was get a degree of choice, go into that field, work that field, and you're good to go. You know, we come in, and a lot of us, over half of us, get degrees that are almost obsolete in 5 years because they're STEM field-based. You know, they're technology-based, or they're medical-based, engineering-based, science-based. And that said, it drives us to have to continually learn more and more and more and continually to become more efficient and more dynamic in our approach to how we work and how we thrive and how we live as professionals. We can't just get a good job. You know, the days are gone where you can just walk into a career and just sit down and be settled. It behooves us as a generation to be competitive. It's literally become survival of the fittest. But I think that's also a good thing as well. It's not necessarily doom and gloom, but it definitely is something we should have on our radar.
So let me ask you a question. This is really good for us to identify and understand, us meaning generations that's older than the millennials. So So it sounds like, you know, we have to keep you fed. Like, our responsibility has to keep you in a position of growing your knowledge, not just because here's what happens. It may be sometimes we hear, you know, they're not even putting me on this project. I need to be in leadership position. And what other generations are hearing is you're trying to advance without taking the time to learn. And, you know, because we're all about it takes time to get to places, right? And what I'm hearing is different here is that it's not that you're trying to get someplace you don't deserve or know how to get to. I mean, it's not that. It's that you're saying, help feed us and teach me. That's what I'm hearing you say. We want you to continually use us, teach us, help us to really stretch ourselves to learn more. Because if not that, you're losing your own competitive edge. Is that
Absolutely.
What you want to say?
And Shiloh, I think she touched it right on the head when she said that we are competitors and we are looking for a way to separate ourselves. And quite frankly, when you come into a workplace where you're just kind of meeting the status quo, you're getting left behind.
So what does that – let me ask you a question. Some people, some employees, individuals, may not be as comfortable as the three of you all where you're willing to voice, right? You're willing to say, hey, hands up, here's the deal. I need to learn more. I need to grow. Your hand is up. Asking a question, or you're verbally speaking up at meetings or with your managers, some people might not be that open. So what might end up happening is they're showing a behavior that might be really trying to stress that, but we're misreading it. Does that make sense to you all?
Yes.
Yes,
so
and we
what
can
do
see
you,
that.
Talk to me about what is that behavior that we might be misreading? So, you know, somebody might start acting this way, doing this, saying that, whatever it is, that really it looks one way, but you're really trying to say something else.
I believe that very often there are employees that, like you said, they're not as open to asking questions or asking to learn more, and they're almost afraid to ask those questions. And I believe that personality, they really do want to improve on themselves. They really do want to ask questions, and they may seem frustrated or like they're not putting forth as much effort as other employees that are more outgoing in that sense. But really, they do want to learn, and I think we are the generation that we always have that hunger to learn, that want to learn more and to grow more, because like you said, we can't just get into a position and sit and be stationary. We are not the generation of static. We are used to change. We constantly want change because that means growth. And
yes.
So with those employees that you see them being more shy, or maybe they seem frustrated, like they aren't trying as hard, I think just having that open conversation, allowing them to feel comfortable, knowing that it's an open workplace, that it is an open environment where conversation can be had, that will allow them to share their ideas and maybe allow them to grow more and feel more comfortable in that position.
And Shiloh, I thought it was really great, the point that you made, that we are a generation that are not afraid to fail. And I think that is one of our shining, distinguishing characteristics than the generations before, where they just wanted to kind of get in the groove and make sure that they were in a good comfort zone. We aren't afraid of jumping out of our comfort zone. As a matter of fact, it behooves us to do that. So I just wanted to reiterate that point that you made. You know, millennials are not afraid of failure. As a
right.
matter of fact, it's what drives us.
And also,
you know what?
I just wanted to add really quickly. With that, I think, because I can see it in some of my colleagues also, you know, some people may be texters and just sit back, and they may appear to be lazy, but really what they may need is a great coaching, a great mentor, or someone, you know, feedback and let them know that what they're doing actually matters. That way they have a little more, you know, pick up about themselves to want to show that they're actually, you know, working towards something.
So what I just heard, so tell me if I'm right on this, what I just heard is sometimes when people are looking disengaged, if they're texting or kind of looking like they're stepping apart, it's really a matter of they don't feel that they're connected into the big picture. They don't. It's a matter of if someone can demonstrate, the leaders can demonstrate that what you're doing matters, that you're valued, that I need your involvement in these some in these other areas, that that might diminish, meaning some of the texting and some of the what looks like they're disconnected, because now they're part of the bigger picture.
That's absolutely right. There's basically three things that we at millennials want from our boss, the company, and, you know, just overall. We need from our boss to be able to help navigate our career paths, give us straight feedback, mentor, coach us. And then from the company, you know, the company needs to have some sort of strong values that we can feel as though we add to, you know, be able to blend our work with the with our home life, to where, you know, because some of our values is work and family. Like, we're not all about just work all the time. Like, we're if there's millennials that are working extra hours, they're subconsciously they're expecting something back. It's not just because I think it's that's the difference from some generations, you know, where, you know, they were expected to work long hours just because that was the job, whereas now it's a little bit different. And then, of course, you know, we want to learn more things as we're at the job also.
Wow. This is really, really fantastic. So I'm going to stop right quick and do a quick one-minute commercial, and then we'll come back. Now, when we come back, we have heard phenomenal things from these millennials. I tell you right now, my eye-opener is that there is no fear. We're not afraid to fail. That really, you all have just opened the window or the door for so many of us. I'm getting texts from various people who are saying, who thought, I never thought about there's such a difference, and we're, it's okay. We recognize that we're going to fail sometimes. It's part of the equation. So we're not afraid of it. We just know that's how we grow. That helps us to understand and even look at ourselves much differently and what we can pick up and learn from you all. Now, after the break, we're going to come back, and I'm going to talk to the millennials. I'm going to throw you guys something. I'm going to throw you guys one out there. We're going to talk to the millennials about what about the concept or the stereotype of respect. And I think from what we're hearing, it is not lack of respect. It is it's different than that, and it has to showcase itself in different ways. And that kind of piggybacks on that fearless mentality as well. So I'm going to come back from the break. We're going to talk a little bit about respect and the misconception of what respect is given and not given, as well as what the millennials, what they want to see in order to feel respected. So give us 1 minute and we will be right back.
We all know that companies have a brand, but what about you? What's your career brand? TheCareerBrand.com will help you identify your brand, your career brand. Navigating the career landscape can be daunting and challenging, but you don't have to go it alone. TheCareerBrand.com is dedicated to guiding professionals through the career branding process. With the use of cutting-edge tools, training, and consulting top career coach, author, and creator of TheCareerBrand.com, Latrice Collins. At thecareerbrand.com, you will find incredible and useful career branding books by Latrice Collins that will show you the ways of breaking through the glass ceilings. Men and women of all ages have raved about the benefits they receive from these books. Also, don't miss Latrice Collins' webinar, Brand Ignition. Companies are always looking for the best talent. With Latrice Collins and the tools at thecareerbrand.com, you will demonstrate to employers you are that talent. To learn more, visit thecareerbrand.com.
And we're back. So exciting show for those of you just who are just tuning in. We're talking. This is a fireside chat with millennial professionals. Before the show, we talked a great deal about just rich pieces of, you know, the current environment and the differences between the millennials. I promise we talk a little bit about respect. So which one of you would like to tackle that concept? Just want to kind of jump at it first. On the feeling of giving, receiving, what does it look like, and so forth about respect.
Well, you know, I think respect in the sense of being in a work environment, I think I'll touch from that direction because there's many layers to respect, right? There's the personal level, there's the professional level. There's a character level as well. So in the workplace, I think for millennials, our respect or our lack or what can be deemed as a lack thereof, again, is the fact that we're very competitive and our drive. So to some of the people who may be 10 years there before us, it looks like we're stepping on their toes. I've been told sometimes, you know, you're kind of overreaching your bounds. You haven't really paid your dues to be making those kind of suggestions, et cetera. And it comes across as disrespect when really it's just that we come from a different piece of cloth. We're cut from a different piece of fabric and that we want to be the innovators. We have we want to solve problems and make things more efficient. And sometimes our good intentions can come off as disrespectful because we won't just align with the status quo. And a lot of times in order for change to happen, you kind of have to step on people's toes in order to get there. So I think that's one of the ways for sure. And I'm sure Shiloh can elaborate on that from her human resources perspective on, you know, just how the dynamic of respect can differ both from a managerial to employer perspective as well as generationally.
Hmm.
Yes, I agree with that. There is a lot of difference between the respect now in our generation, I believe. Like Thaddeus said, we are constantly wanting to grow, and we do tend to step on people's toes in order to get to that place that we want to be. And we tend to take the older generations and think that they are disrespecting us because they're not always helping us to get to that place that we want to be. They kind of look at us as, like he said, you haven't paid your dues, you haven't earned this place. But we believe as stepping into the workplace, being an employee, we are already earning that right to work to where we want to be. We do believe that we have to work to get to that place. I think a lot of us look at our a lot of people look at our generation like we don't think that we have to work for anything, that we've been handed everything. I think that's a common misconception. We know that we have to work for those things. We've had to work for our degrees that have become obsolete in the workplace now. We've had to work for getting past the entry level, that a lot of older generations believe that we should stay in that entry level because of our age, because of our lack of experience. But we are constantly pushing forward, which can look like we're disrespecting those older generations when really we just want to be respected ourselves and looked at as a person, another employee in the workplace.
Wow. I can tell you guys I have no more room on my paper that of the notes that we're writing down on this. This is really, really good. So let me ask you a question. What do you feel? So it sounds like, and thank you both for that. So it sounds like respect on both from both perspectives, and I appreciate that is that you helped layer it by indicating their different types of respect, because I think that's really important to understand. Sometimes other generations misread and they take things personally. And you know what? I'm not going to say other generations. I think all generations, all people, sometimes misunderstand what they don't know or something that looks different than what they're familiar with. So as a result of that, right, as a result of that, they feel taken aback and they feel things are taken, they take it personally that you're not demonstrating the respect for me that I deserve. Millennials are no different than any of the other generations. Everyone is saying, I've contributed a lot or I want to learn a lot and I need you to speak to me and treat me and utilize me in a way that demonstrates I am a value to this organization, right?
Yes.
And it's no, thank you. That, I just wanted to make sure I'm hearing it right and that's what you all are saying as well.
Yeah, and I think also the challenge there, and I don't know that if we've really touched on this yet, we've talked so much from the perspective of the millennial spectrum and how we feel the disrespect and how we feel or perceive things in the workplace. But I think an interesting and very important point is that the generations before us who are still in the workplace, for example, I work for a global electronics distributor. We have somewhere on the air of 200,000 employees or better globally. So you can imagine that there are people working just in my department who range from the age of, you know, maybe 60 all the way down to we've got interns at 19. So those older generation folks, those 10-year guys, those people that have been there for 20, 30 years, they feel threatened inherently, and rightfully so. So a lot of times they can misinterpret, you know, our zeal and our thirst and our hunger to get out here and make an impact as a threat, you know, to their own well-being and to their own stability, especially those employees who may be just about, you know, 10 years out from retirement. They look at guys like us coming in, oh, gosh, they're going to shake it up, you know, and now it almost behooves them in order to maintain their marketability to begin to thirst more and learn more. And that's why we're seeing, and Shiloh, I'm sure you can speak to that as well, we're seeing this increase in the generation before going back to school and expanding their knowledge and their scope so that they can compete against this ever-competitive generation of employees.
Yes, I definitely hear, even in interviewing people from the older generations, that whenever they're on the phone, their common question is maybe just about pay or benefits or retirement. When the younger generation on the phone with them, they're asking, how soon can I move up in the company? And that can come off as disrespect, but really we just want to be looked at as a contributor. We want to help. We don't want to step on your toes. We don't want to take your jobs. We want you to look at us as a contributor in the company as well.
So let me ask you guys a question. So this is really solid on how you see the environment, kind of the personality and what's driving you. Let me ask you a question about your perspectives of other generations, because there's a great deal of value of what you can obtain from those other generations. What do you think are some of the biggest assets that millennials can grow from and can learn from when it comes to the generations that set the stage before you?
I think I can perfectly answer this one. And this is from a technology perspective. I think that other generations should realize that we look at you as kind of the experts in this. I think a lot of millennials now are used to things being simplistic, or we're always trying to find the shortcut or the easier way to do things, where before us it was all, you know, pen and paper. It was all, you know, it was more difficult, I think, before, you know, how we're coming into the workforce now. So I think there's a lot of great things that we can learn as far as the under the hood things of how things work from other generations.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I don't want it to come across that. I'm sorry?
No, go ahead, Shiloh.
I was going to say, don't want this to come across as we are just sitting here almost bashing the older generations. That's not by any means what we feel like. They're always looking down on us. I think we do believe sometimes that they discount our opinions and they don't take us seriously. But really, I believe that the older generations do, and we can learn from that and can learn, like Rajay said, that they have had to work for where they are at now. And so we can take their experiences and learn from that they've had to go from the bottom up. And so sometimes we do need to slow down and not expect that instant gratification and learn from them about working from the bottom up to get to where we want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a way to leverage people's strengths and appreciate some of the positives and some of the knowledge and wisdom that they've acquired over their career, but then at the same time still be able to excel that. And it just becomes a strike of balance where, you know, I'm able to learn from you. You know, you blazed the trail and you kind of made my career and my opportunity here possible, but then you also have the respect that I need to carry that torch even further, right, that there needs to be growth. So in me coming into this field, and I think for all millennials, I can speak solidly that we don't just want to, we look at this as a relay race, right? We don't want to just run alongside of you. We want you to pass us the torch and allow us to go on and make that impact as well so that we can progress ourselves professionally.
You know, Thaddeus, you just said something really pointed. Well, you said a lot of things, but this particular one on looking at it as a relay race. I think that really helps to shape a picture of what you can see. Our responsibility is this part of the stretch. Hand us that baton, we got it. We're going to run and do that sprint. While others may look at it as a marathon, that
yeah.
our job, and this is, and note everyone who's listening, we all completely understand that what we're talking about is generalization and not to the individual level, because every person is uniquely different, right? But just keeping it back to the generalization perspective, you know, those who look at it as a marathon, meaning we're looking at it as a bigger picture and the broader, and how do we sustain over a lifetime? How do we set the foundation to last over a lifetime? And understanding, I totally understand you all are not saying that you're not seeing those kind of things. It's just your technique is going to be different. But for those who are, for instance, the traditionalists, the baby boomers and the Gen X people, their thought is we have to secure so much within the organization that they want to take the time, for instance. One reason they do in-person meetings. I had a leader who used to drive me insane because all his meetings had to be in person. So you had to drive across the city. You had to, you know, you're in the middle of a million projects and you had to, and you couldn't be late and you had to get over there and take other calls from the car. But what he was trying to drive home with us, and we eventually got it, but it took a minute. He was trying to drive home that sometimes you have to invest in the relationship. Sometimes you have to invest in taking the time to go see the people, look at their eyes, pick up the phone instead of chatting, sending an email or a text, because the relationships are what's binding the people and the commitments together more than in addition to the execution of whatever that component is you're trying to be efficient with. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Yes.
So for me, you know, because we were, believe it or not, Xers, you know, we were big on, you know, email was a big deal that came in with us instead of the phone calls and so forth. But my old mentors have taught us very, very clearly that while technology has presented itself to make certain things more efficient, we can never lose sight of the relationships and the bonds that you can form and learn from, right, is built in the people and in interaction with the people, not just the technology and so forth. Does that make sense?
Definitely.
So it does make me then want to shift and ask this question. Shiloh, can you or Rajay, can you and, you know, of course, TJ, Thaddeus as well. What are some effective techniques in leading millennials?
I think one of the most important things about leading millennials, I think we've kind of been generalized as the generation of the participation ribbon. We have been kind of coddled by our parents, and no matter what you do, you're not going to fail, and that has allowed us to not have that fear of failure, but it has also made us a little bit afraid of criticism. So with that constructive criticism, I believe praise should come with that. Allow it to be a conversation. Allow it to be open on both sides. Like I've said, communication is the most important thing with our generation, I believe. Allow us to be involved and share our voice. Also, I believe that if you give us opportunities for civic involvement, that way, we're not just showing what we can do in the workplace, but the ability to make a difference outside of the common 9-to-5. And so that way we can allow ourselves to shine not only in the workplace, but then outside in the community as well.
That is perfect. I think let me make one quick point on this one, and I think that was Rajay. I definitely want to hear what you're saying. One quick point on this one. So for those of you who are listening, especially managers who've listened to some of the last calls, when Shiloh described we want to hear the criticism because we need to grow, but at the same time, like every human, criticism makes us a little nervous, and so also give us the positives. Now, for those of you who are leaders and, of course, those of you who, you know, I've had the opportunities to coach, we talk about not necessarily doing sandwiching, which is here's good, here's a good, oh, don't, this is things that you got to work on, here's another good. Not that style, because that diminishes the value of the criticism. But one of the things that Shiloh's bringing up that is extremely valuable is that as a leader, our job is not only just to tell them where, tell anyone of things that they need to do differently or better, but we have to build a trusting relationship where we're identifying things they do very well. And we let them know that as they occur, that this particular item you've done fantastically well. I want you to be the mentor for this other item. I want you to help groom other people for these items. Now let's talk about some areas, and these are different conversations. Now let's talk about some areas where I can groom you so that the person, and this does not only apply to millennials, it's all people that you manage, where the person doesn't feel like every time they walk in their office, they're going to be criticized. They know they're going to be groomed and grown, and in some cases, you recognize all the things that they're doing well, and in other cases, you recognize where they have opportunity for growth, and you're going to care about them enough to make that happen and teach them in that area, right?
Yes, exactly.
Thank you, thank you. I think Rajay was about to say something. I think that was Rajay.
Yes, it was. I really didn't have much to add to what Shiloh said. The only thing I can think about adding to that is just collaboration. I think we are used to working in teams. So I think leaning millennials, you have to kind of, you don't have to, but it would be a good idea to think about team-based work, you know, for some projects or some things, because that just allows us to be more creative, be able to talk and bounce ideas back and forth and be able to collectively find a common goal to a problem, whereas, you know, some millennials may find it a little bit more stressful to do everything on their own.
Absolutely. And, I mean, just to kind of supplement that, Rajay, is I think that our generation, we have a tendency to get pushed away, if you will, from employment or opportunities when we feel that we're being pigeonholed or that we are being painted into a corner, you know, here when we're looked at as doers, if you will. And I think that there's, you know, there's kind of two different types of the employee. You kind of have the people who come in to do a job and people who come in to make an impact, right, or to revolutionize. And you're finding more and more that millennials are becoming those revolutionaries. But with that said, I think a lot of that corporate loyalty, brand loyalty, team building and team loyalty has a lot to do with the fact of people feeling that they are not being leveraged for their unique strength. So you have a team where you've got, you know, Gen Xers who've got 20 years of experience in a certain field, and you've got these millennials who come in with the fresh ideas. Well, you should be leveraging that knowledge from the Gen Xers instead of pigeonholing them into a certain way of doing things or a certain job. And I think that a lot of us would find ourselves being happier in our working environment if we were able to spread our wings a little bit, you know, give us a little more freedom to show what we've got and show that we can make an impact beyond the scope of our position description, if that makes sense.
Yes, yes, it does. Gosh, time is flying. This has been so exciting. Now I have two more questions I'm going to try to squeeze in 5 minutes. So I'm putting the pressure on you guys to make that happen. My first question is, we've talked a lot about what we can do as generations older than millennials to identify the value that millennials have and to utilize that and draw more out of them. But I need to hear from you. What about the millennials? What is something that you feel millennials need to do in order to fit better and be recognized better inside of that environment so that people want to take advantage of what they have, what they can bring to the table, and want to invite them in? What do you think?
I think respecting those who come before and respecting that there were dues that were paid, that people, the generation before us did blaze the trail, and they do deserve the respect of having blazed those trails. And I think that that's something that we lack sometimes, or that could be misconceived or misperceived because we're so zealous and we're so thirsty. So yeah, I think that's one of the things we can definitely work on.
I think another thing that we can work on is realizing that change is not easy. Out of college, you may have some expectations about what it's going to be like to work, but being realistic, you really don't know anything about the corporate world. So you have to, you know, give it some time to learn more, you know, like Thaddeus was saying. But also after you've been in, you know, a few different roles, and let's say you transition to another position, you have to realize that that company may not be as accepting to change as quick as the previous, you know, role that you were at. So, you know, just give it a little bit more time and just calm down and relax, I think would be good advice to everyone.
Very nice, very nice. Okay, only a couple minutes left. So right quick, I would like each one of you all to answer this, starting with Shiloh, then Rajay, then Thaddeus. What do you think will be the difference in the workplace because of your presence being there? And when I say your, I'm meaning the millennials' presence. What will be the difference in the workplace because of their presence?
I think our presence will bring extra energy, fresh outlook. We take the pieces that we've learned from older generations and we use that. And then most importantly, our lack of fear of new technology and change. Like I said before, nothing has ever been static for us. Every year we're moving on to bigger and better technology, bigger and better things. And so that lack of fear can allow our coworkers to feel more comfortable as well. They may not be as adaptable to change at first, but they can kind of learn from us that we look forward to change and we embrace that.
Exactly. I think what will be different is just kind of a faster moving environment to embrace the different changes in. A more tech-savvy environment is kind of what I would expect or envision, you know, the future of the workplace would be. Just because of, you know, like Shiloh was saying, all of the different things that are coming and how much changes are coming. But then I also could see a little clash for a little bit just because, you know, the different generations. And I think it's important to understand, you know, we have to bridge that gap to make things easier. But once things start to transition to even, you know, another generation after us, I think the workplace is going to change again. And we have to realize just as we're expecting things to change, things may change for us as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that we're going to find in the next decade that these, especially Fortune 500 companies and some of these companies that are being born now, they're going to become less static. Right, we're going to see more dynamic growth in companies. We're going to see companies moving quicker and leaner and faster up the chain. And I see opportunities being created where there were no such opportunities. But I also see, again, that sense of urgency increasing for the competitive edge and the competitive players. Each company doesn't just want to get a good employee. They want to get the best employee. Right. So it behooves us to be the best. And I think that's what you're going to see change. People aren't just going to come in and work. People are coming in to be the best at what they do.
So I'm hearing two things. So one, we have the millennials who are all about change, but also being able to get grounded using and learning from other and partnering with the other generation. So we have the foundation that's needed, right? Because you still have to have foundation. People change when if it's just change without foundation, the company will crumble. Thaddeus, in the last few seconds, could you share with us, if you don't mind, your website on where people can go to find out more about your company?
Yeah, you can find my personal website at thaddeuskilo.com. That's thaddeuskilo.com. You can also find me on Instagram to see some of my artwork, which is under Webmaster Troy with an I. And if you just Google Thaddeus Kilo, you'll probably find a few pages of my work and some of my art as well.
Thank you. Thank you. And Shiloh, I know that you as well as Rajay have, I believe, LinkedIn pages. So if people want to ask you guys questions after the show, they can get to that. You and LinkedIn. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Yes.
Okay. Well, guys, thank you so much. You have provided phenomenal insight to everyone on Millennial Professionals. We really appreciate that. Guys, this is, again, Latrice Collins. I am the president of The Career Brand. Thank you so much for what you offer to us and listening to us. We're going to bring more shows to you in the very near future. Until then, have one great day. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.